Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Today we're going to talk about body hair. What fun! For some people, I guess, but not for me. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, a fellow body hair unenjoyer, Susan Bridges.
Hello!
Unenjoyer.
That is personal information you just shared.
I'm sorry, was that too much?
They know now.
You've made it very public, I feel. Our guest this week is Zoe Tunnell, a trans lesbian writer based out of New Jersey who's worked on properties like Marvel and Godzilla, as well as co-creating the series Blade Maidens. Welcome, Zoe.
Hello. Lovely to be here.
Okay, so as a fellow comic writer, I need to ask you, what made you want to write for that medium?
Well, it was always a medium that It's something that I both think is true, and also if any artist I work with hears me say it, they're gonna punch me in the face, because I'm going to say it's like the beauty of, like, your imagination can run wild with anything. Like, if you're writing for film or cinema, you have to, like, work out budget, you have to work out, like, special effects, you have to do this. For comics, you can just be like, hey, there's a fleet of starships fighting another fleet of starships, and it looks really cool. And an artist does have to work really, really, really hard, much harder
they do.
Than writers, in my opinion. So I don't want to minimize that, but it's a lot easier in terms of, like, scope to kind of go buck wild in comics.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always loved that.
Yeah, it is very only limited by your imagination and what your collaborator, co-creators are able to do in the allotted time or comfortable doing. You know, we always like to ask our artists who, like, what do you love to draw, and try to
That's my first question every time. Is there anything you want to draw? Because you're going to be drawing this script. So if I can make it more fun for you, I always will.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's, like, set in space, if you love to draw horses, we will get a space horse in there. Just
space horse. Easy.
Space horse. Yeah. We also love to ask them what they hate to draw and try to minimize it or exclude it if possible to make things as easy for them as possible. So,
makes sense.
Yeah. Do you also write in other mediums?
I dabble a little bit in prose, mostly through Blade Maidens. There's a lot of in-universe lore through every Blade Maidens update has, like, a journal entry or, like, a letter that was sent from one character to another, or, like, you know, all through the context of within the world of Telos that I try to do. I've also written, like, a Blade Maidens short story and dabbled in it. Haven't been published anywhere, so definitely comics are the primary medium that I work in, but would always be happy to expand elsewhere.
Do you have a preference between mediums? Do you enjoy comics more than prose, or how do they compare for you?
I enjoy comics. Prose is... I love writing dialogue.
Yeah.
And when I'm writing a script for comics, it's very easy because I just have to communicate to one person. Here's what this scene is. Here's what the emotion is. It's okay if the way I'm communicating it is kind of, like, not very stylish. Like, because it's a blueprint for you to do the real work. For prose, I have to do all the set dressing, all the, like, coordination, all the choreography, which I can do. But boy howdy, is it so much more work and brain power involved.
Yeah, you also have to, like, do more, like, directing and acting on the page. Yeah. So you have to,
When you pull it off, it's so satisfying, but God, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, okay, so for you, what has been the best thing about transitioning?
Just feeling better in myself. I've said it before, like a younger Zoe, like a either a pre-transition or like, 6 months in Zoe, if
Yeah.
she saw me today, I think she would be shocked both because like, A, whoa, you turned out so hot. That's crazy.
Yeah.
B, I'm not as different as I thought I would be in terms of like my interests, my like how I express myself, stuff like that. I just feel at ease as myself. Like I didn't have to turn into a brand new person. I just
Yeah.
became a better version of myself.
Yeah, same. I feel like it just let me be more me.
Yeah.
Yeah, than I was ever comfortable being before. So,
Exactly.
yeah. Okay, so on the flip side of that, what has been one of the worst or most difficult parts of transition for you?
I mean, putting aside the easy answer of society,
Yeah,
capital S.
always number one.
Yeah, putting aside that very easy answer, I would say probably the pressure on myself to like make sure that like there's a constant pressure to make sure I'm doing this right. Like I am being trans enough, right? Like I am doing the right things. I am doing, and it's funny because like when I don't feel that pressure, I'm fine. I'm good. Yes, I'm on 10 milligrams of Lexapro a day, but that's irrelevant. But for when it comes to like when my brain does fall into that little pit, it's
Yeah.
very like it's almost like a different kind of dysphoria than you would experience before. And it's nasty. It's some rough stuff. But it's like you can overcome it. It's like all the worst parts of like, life. There it's temporary. Like you get through it.
Yeah, it is hard. I think it's something I've seen every trans person struggle with. Me too, and wondering if we're trans enough, especially early on, wondering, well, I
Oh
don't
yeah.
do what these other trans people do. Does that mean I'm not really trans or whatever? So there's a whole episode of this show about, yes, you are trans enough, no matter what you do or don't do. So go listen to that
Yeah.
if you're out there wondering, because you are.
Yeah, of
We
course.
all
Like,
are.
here's the answer. Are you trans? Congrats, you're trans enough. That's it.
Exactly. Exactly right. See, I didn't even need to do a whole episode. We just one sentence from you and it's all covered. Okay, before we dive into this week's topic, do you want to let people know where they can find you online after listening?
I'm mostly just on Blue Sky at Zoe with a sword dot blue sky dot social. You can find me if you want to read my writing. I have a story in the upcoming Marvel United, a Pride special.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And then you can also find me. I'm a player on the tabletop podcast Eidolon Playtest, which has been running for 5 years now. I will caution listeners, it is very much not PG-13. That is an R-rated show through and through. But it's a great show. It's primarily trans. We only have two cis people out of 10 total cast members.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a very queer show. It's been a blast. I've been doing it almost as long as I have been trans, so it's been very fun to like grow more confident in the characters I play and feeling like more
Yeah.
fun. So yeah, check us out there. It's a great show and a great game system, which you can buy on Itch if you so desire.
Excellent. Okay, let's talk body hair. Your frame of reference for this is that body hair is one of the things that spikes my gender dysphoria. It's probably best to listen to episode 59 on gender dysphoria first so you understand why I do all of what I do to deal with it. I had a fair amount of body hair pre-transition. I wasn't like a bear or anything, and I'm not talking about the animals, and if you're not familiar with that term, I wish you a very happy internet search. But neither was I some sprightly nymph with skin as smooth as butter. Seeing my body hair always made me unhappy, and seeing it grow in now gives me a miserable dysphoria spike, so I've got to remove it. And I think a lot of cisgender folks, even cis women, don't know what that entails. The first time I shaved my legs was an experience. It gave me a feeling I'd later identify as gender euphoria, which is exactly what it sounds like, the polar opposite of gender dysphoria. See the essay on that at tillystranstuesdays.com. Shaving legs is something ladies do, generally, if they want. It's up to them, but also some guys do, and that's cool. But if I do it, then maybe I'm a lady? It was also terrifying. I'm not sure how to accurately convey what it's like to be doing something you think might make you feel better, but you're not sure, and it can't just be immediately undone. So what if I hate it? What if it makes me feel no different at all? the latter was the biggest issue for me, because if it didn't help them, was I really trans? I mean, yes, sure, you can absolutely be a trans woman and not want to shave your legs, but would I be? Listen to episode 13 on Yes, You Are Trans Enough for more on how what you do or do not do to transition does not determine your transness. It's also confusing at every step, and there was an even bigger question that plagued me about this, but I'm saving that for the end. Okay, Zoe, do you remember what it felt like the first time you shaved your legs or did something to remove body hair? What was it like?
Oh, do I? Yeah, I remember my experience with it. It was much later than you'd think it was. I didn't do it like when I was in college, in high school, because I was like, what if someone sees?
What if someone sees?
They're like,
yeah.
Hey, why do you
They're
have
gonna ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was when I was out of college. I dropped out. I'm a dropout. But like, you know, I was out of college, and I remember like, you know, being in that shame cycle, but like nearing the end of it, like starting to like really pound on that closet door.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just gonna like, you know, shave my legs. Hey. Swimmers shave their
legs. That's
right.
Michael, they do.
If Michael Phelps can shave his legs, then I mean, who am I to? So that was like the excuse I told.
Sure.
And I did it. And I remember after, because my partner, who I'm not sure if they knew at the time, but they were like, yeah, sure. And then like, hey, you know what feels really good? Lotioning, like moisturizing after you shave. So I did that. And I just rubbed my legs together. And I was like, this, what they, hey, wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
Women have been holding out on us. This is how good this feels? What is
yeah.
this?
Right.
I was like, this was an option. but yeah, it felt incredible. And then I just started doing it. And now I don't do it as much. Well, I do during the summer because, like, you know, I'm a
sure.
short shorts kind of gal. But yeah, it was a huge, like, my God, amazing, incredible, no notes moment.
Yeah, same. For me, shaving my legs then advanced to shaving my armpits, and then my arms and my torso, which is a time-intensive process. Legs on their own have so much surface area, you don't really realize it until you have to cover all of it. But the problem with shaving my legs is that for some reason, the top of my thighs were always a problem. Nicks and cuts and horrid razor burn all the time. It was very vexing. I'd also routinely get nicks and cuts on my arms, even with a brand new blade. And early on in transition, I'd have to do it twice a week, because even though I was on HRT, which we just talked about in episode 110, and it can possibly slow and thin body hair in trans women, it took a long time for that to happen for me. It finally did, but more on that in a bit. So I gathered up my courage and got myself a nasty little lady, an epilator. It has a drum that spins really fast, covered in tweezers, and it rips your hair out by the root. If you've never used one, I envy you. Here's a good way to picture the feeling in your mind. Have you ever plucked an eyebrow hair? If not, seriously, grab a pair of tweezers and pull one out. Right now, I promise you, no one will ever notice. Okay, so it hurts like heck, right? Now imagine about 20 of those at once, per second, sustained over half an hour all over your body. Using an epilator gets you your certified badass card. It's a great club to be a member of. We all wear sunglasses and are mysteriously stoic. Epilators are generally designed, intended, and marketed for cisgender ladies, which I bring up only because the instructions that come with it tell you that you should need to do it every 3 to 4 weeks. Oh, it is to laugh, because you lucky cis ladies don't have hair that's super thick or that grows all that fast in general. I know that some of you do, and believe me, I feel your literal pain. I had to epilate every single week. And did you know that you can't just epilate? Oh no, because if the hairs are too long, they'll simply break, and then you end up still being hairy and with a lot of ingrown hairs knocking at the door and dropping off their bags for a long visit. My epilator came with an electric razor head you could swap in, and I had to use that first, also once a week, to trim all the hair down so the epilator could function properly. The first time I used the epilator, my body looked like I'd fallen into a vat of starving mosquitoes and decided to just chill there for a few hours. It was kind of horrific. But your skin gets used to it, and eventually that only happened when I epilated over an area I somehow missed every single time before, which happened more than I would care to admit. Also, mine was waterproof, and it suggested you epilate in the shower under running water, which I did, and I cannot recommend enough. Hot water opens the pores and loosens things, so the hairs come out a little easier, and it hurts just a little bit less. Over time, I became weirdly fond of the feeling, probably because it hurt less after doing it so much, and also because I could feel it wiping out dysphoria as I went. Your mileage may vary. Have you used an epilator, Zoe?
Yes, once.
Well, just once? That was
Live,
enough.
yeah, just the one time.
Yeah.
One and done for me. Yeah, I shaved my legs. I couldn't do an epilator. I tried it once. I tried waxing, and I was just like, honestly, you know what? Shaving's fine. But also, I feel so bad being on this episode specifically. I'm very lucky. Don't get a ton of body hair.
I'm envious.
Even before HRT, I get zero chest hair, zero back hair. Somehow I'm the world's only Italian who managed to dodge that bullet. I do get legs, I do get arms, I do get pits, which I shave, I take care of. But yeah, a lot of the more potent struggles with body hair, unfortunately not something I have to deal with. And unfortunately, in the terms of me, like, sharing experiences.
Sure.
I'm very lucky to have that. But yeah, it's rough. My major dysphoria generator was always facial hair.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, which I mean is technically body hair. It's on your body.
That's
but
right.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what exactly did I epilate? Keep in mind that I had to cover all of this with the electric razor head first, and then the next day I'd cover the same areas with the epilator. My toes, the tops of my feet, my ankles, all around my shins and calves, the top, front, sides, and back of my knees, and the latter is super sensitive because how often does anything touch you there? Every side of my thighs, all the way around, my hips, my lower abdomen, my stomach, why does my tummy gotta be hairy? And that's not easy because it's soft, and there's a belly button there because I am a human person. My torso, my boobs and cleavage such as they were, the backs of my fingers, the back of my hand, my wrists, all sides of my forearms, inside, outside of my elbows, my upper arms, and the top of my shoulders. And I don't know about anyone else because it would be a weird thing to ask, but my body hair seems to grow in all different directions, so I often had to epilate an area in four different directions to actually get as much of the hair out as possible. The epilator has attachments that says make it less intense for quote-unquote sensitive areas, like armpits and even your face, and other adult places, like bars and nightclubs. I am sad to tell you, I was never that brave. I shaved those areas manually with a handheld razor. One interesting thing is that the feeling of epilation was so intense that shaving afterward with a razor and some soap literally felt like I was just rubbing a piece of silk on my body by comparison. It was such a weird sensation. It took 40 to 45 minutes to cover all of that, and again, I did it twice, shaving and then epilating. So that was a good hour and a half of my week, every week, taken up with this. I was glad to do it. It made me feel much better, but it always pissed me off that it ate so much of my time. And if you missed episode 32 on time and money, remember that I even had the ability to spend that time on shaving and epilating is a privilege. Quick aside, I have found that tanned skin and alcohol-based aftershave worked wonders if I put it on right after epilating. Keeps any razor burn or ingrown hairs to a minimum. Highly recommended. But if you do have any tiny nicks or cuts or ingrown hairs, it is gonna sting. But that's fine, you just epilated. You're a goddamn warrior. I shaved one day, epilated the next. Then I had about 2.5 days, sometimes a titch longer, of mostly hairless bliss. By the next day, I had stubble everywhere, which just got longer as the week went on until I shaved it again. I did all of that for not even 3 full days of peace per week. Also, when you have long hair, the loose ones that just normally fall out in the shower or any other time get stuck in your body hair stubble, which is super fun to pick off of yourself all the time. And I am privileged in other ways too, because imagine someone who also gets dysphoria from their body hair but can't afford an epilator, or who maybe has a hairy back and lives alone and has no way to remove it. I am very thankful that my back is basically hairless. I'm sure Susan is too, because otherwise I'd have enlisted her into a one-woman back-shaving army, and I suspect that's not high on her list of things to experience.
I would not like doing that.
No, your face conveys that well.
No, I don't think it'd be a great time.
Okay, so you already talked about this a little bit, Zoe, but like, what's the full picture of it like for you? Like, how often do you have to do it? Are there parts that you can't reach? Do you struggle with? Does it come back way too fast for you?
It's mostly okay. It was worse when I started.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm 5.5 years in now, so
yeah.
It's pretty like I haven't. I shaved, I think, like A week ago. Yeah, I shaved a week ago because we were in London for a wrestling show and I was wearing shorts and I was like, I'm gonna get fancy. And like I'm feeling my leg and I can feel like little stubbles, but like
Yeah.
it's pretty faint. Like I don't mind walking around like I'm wearing shorts right now. So I'd say it's probably like if I wanted to maintain 2 to 3 weeks between shaves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then my arms, I shave my arms just because I like to. Like
Yeah.
the hair is fairly faint at this point, so like I could get away with it, but I like to shave. I like the smooth.
I know,
And
it
I got a
feels
bunch
so
of
nice.
tattoos. Yeah, I got a bunch of tattoos on my arms and I want them to stand out.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, so I'd say probably like 2 to 3 weeks. Pits a little faster. I would say
Yeah.
maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks for those. But yeah, like it was a lot more frequent. It was like once a week when I was
Yeah.
first starting. But nowadays, man, it's pretty manageable.
I am very glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Early on, I tried seeing if I could just shave with the electric razor head and not epilate. Nope, the hair grew so fast I'd have to shave twice a week, but since it doesn't shave all that close, I was eternally covered in stubble. And that made epilation take longer because there was more stubble than usual and it was a disaster all around. Also, to note, even after epilating, I could feel the stubble. It was never all the way smooth and hairless. Never. Thankfully, now basically 5 years into medical transition and being on estrogen injections and not pills, my body hair has thinned and slowed considerably. I stopped needing to epilate a couple years ago. Now I just shave all over with an electric razor once a week, and it takes me only about 25 minutes. And though I still get some stubble as it grows back in, it's not nearly as bad as it was. But here's the other question that plagued me about this since before I was even sure I was trans. Why does body hair bother me? I've seen cis women with hair on their legs and arms. It's fine. People can and should be as hairy or hairless as they like. So why does it bother me? Why do I not want to be hairy? Is it because I associate it with being a man, because I had body hair when I presented as and thought I was a man? Or is it because our patriarchal, misogynistic, transphobic society says hairy equals manly and hairless equals being a quote-unquote good woman? We've all seen the shit a cis woman has to deal with if she just decides to not shave her legs for a while. And if you're not familiar with that, cis fellas listening, ask some of the ladies in your life. Anyway, if I feel this way because of society teaching us bad things, am I just confirming and feeding into that by shaving my legs and such? Is that bad? Should I just let it be and tell misogyny to go screw? I'd never ask that question of any other person, cisgender or transgender or agender or non-binary or anything else. If they want to shave their legs or anything else, cool. They should. And if they don't, also cool. I know a lot of trans mask folks for whom body hair is euphoric for them, and that makes me so happy. It's all about each of us just finding what's right for us. But when it comes to me, I feel like that doesn't apply for some reason. Is this some of my own internalized transphobia, like I talked about in episode 18? Could be. But I don't want to do anything that can be used to hurt and harm other people. That's been done to me enough in my life. Check out episode 24 on parents who will never know the real you, aka my dad. For more on how my mom used me as a weapon to wound others, it's very bad. Thank you for being here, Zoe.
Of course. Happy to be here. And I just wanted to say what you
Yeah.
said. For example, my partner is gender fluid,
Yeah.
and so they don't sometimes they want to shave, sometimes they don't,
Sure.
sometimes and it never bothers me on
Yeah.
them, not
Right.
once. But for it's always on someone else, not a problem whatsoever. For me, oh God.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it used to be when I was really early on, like I said, with facial hair, I unfortunately had a lot of internalized trans misogyny when I saw other trans women with visible, notable facial hair. It would trigger dysphoria in my brain,
Yeah.
which is not fair to that person. They haven't done anything. That's my brain
Right.
worms. And so I think that's a big thing that I try to hold to, which is you never make your hang up someone else's problem
Yeah.
because that's even if still I've worked on it, it's a lot less triggering or awful for my brain than it
Yeah.
used to be. But even if it wasn't, that's hey, guess what? Probably even if it doesn't, but maybe it gives her even worse dysphoria than my brain is getting.
Yeah.
Why should I pile on that? That's not fair.
Right.
So I think that's something that a lot of trans folks, women, men, non-binary folks, everybody need to remember is We're all fighting our own internal brain struggles.
Yeah.
Don't add to other people's when it's just your own struggles.
Very well said. All I'm left with knowing is I still haven't figured out why my body hair bothers me. I don't know why it spikes my dysphoria. But what I have figured out is that regardless of the reason, my body hair being gone makes me happy and lessens my dysphoria. That's good enough for now, and maybe that's all it needs to be. Tilly Bridges, End Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges at mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.